Hallelujah. Christ arose. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that this morning?
Woo!
You know what? I think we need to give Dave and Carissa a nice round of applause for the music for before the service this morning. Wasn't that just beautiful? That was great. Well, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I think we could do better. He's risen.
He's risen indeed.
There we go. That's great. Well, you know, today, has for us as believers, is the best day of the year. It's the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, he died. Yes, he was taken off the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, he came walking out of that tomb. He's alive. He's alive, and we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to sing about that this morning. So hopefully when you came in, you received the bulletin. If so, open it up, and let's kind of talk over some of the things that are going on. If you missed our Easter breakfast this morning, shame on you. Okay? We had a great breakfast. We had lots of food. It was really, really good. So note to self, make sure that you're here for Christmas because we do it at Christmas. Make sure that you're here next year for Easter because we do it then. As well. So after our morning worship service, there's no Sunday school today. We want you to go and just enjoy the day. Reflect on the fact that Jesus is alive. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do all day today. So tomorrow, ladies, at 6 p.m., there is a ladies' dinner at Fujiyama, and there are instructions in the bulletin. And so please make sure that you are apprised of that. This is open to all of the ladies of Lake Hazel Bible Church. And so even if you are a guest with us today and you go, whoa, I like that place. I think that would be a great place. You are more than welcome to be able to come. Just make sure that you call or text or email Diane so that she can make a reservation for all of you tomorrow night. So if you haven't already done that, make sure that you do that. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study in the afternoon. Thursday is Awana. It is our awards night. It's hard to believe that the end of our Awana ministry for this year is coming to a close this coming Thursday night. And our kids, our teens have worked so hard. And so if you don't know anything about Awana, this is a great opportunity for you to come to be able to learn. If you've kind of know some of the kids and teens that have been involved in our Awana ministry, this is a great opportunity for you to come and encourage them and to be able to support them and to be able to just celebrate all that they've accomplished this year. So if you want to be here at by 6:15, and that'll be really great. Next Sunday, we are going to be observing communion, so that means we're going to be receiving our benevolent offering, and those of you that are regular attenders of Lake Hazel Bible Church, you know what that means. If you don't, come and see me after the service, and I'll explain to you what that means. Other announcements in the bulletin that you might need to be aware of, and so that's why it's important for you to be able to make sure that you have one. So yesterday, I got a phone call from Lois Obenchain. She went in the end of this week to get a shot in her eye, and the doctor that gave her the shot ended up hitting a vein. And so it caused her eye to be bloody and swollen and beet red, and she just isn't feeling well. So she wanted me to pass on to you that if you could pray, that would be great. Yesterday was also her 93rd birthday. And so if you haven't sent her a birthday card, would you please do that? If you could just send her a card saying, hey, just thinking of you. She was basically devastated that she could not be here today at her church for Easter Sunday. And so I know that if you could just take a few moments and just jot her a card saying, thinking of you, praying for you, happy belated birthday, whatever. I know that would lift her spirits. And so just talking with her on the phone, just her talking to her pastor made it a little bit better. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. And so we're just so grateful for that. So I just thought I'd pass that on. So if God prompts you to be able to do that, that would be a great way for you to be able to serve. Well, I'm excited. Are you?
Yes.
Are you? Can you get a little more excited?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there we go. All right, let's celebrate the fact that Jesus is not a dead spiritual leader. He's a living Savior. Let's go.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning? It's been said that Easter is the Super Bowl Sunday for Christians, so it's all right to get a little excited today. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty Because he's worthy of our praise today. Yes. Hallelujah. And please be seated. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Thank you. Thank you for coming out of that grave. It is the proof. It is the reason for. It is the source of our hope. It's because Jesus lives. We serve a living God. Thank you for being true and faithful to your word, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we love you. Amen. We're going to take this morning's offering, and if you're visiting with us today, please know that we're not passing a plate in front of you to ask for money. That is a way to worship. Worship your risen and living Savior. Gates and doors are barred, all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day. Find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. Gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. Well, there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices I denied, I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. And he raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had, it just melted into peace. Oh, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are
Amen. You believe that this morning?
Yeah.
He's alive. Are you forgiven? You know what? A dead Savior can't do that. A dead spiritual leader can't do that. Only a Savior who's living. Well, if you've already looked in your bulletin at the title for the message this morning, is called An Amazing Easter. And we've already experienced an amazing Easter already, right? And hopefully it's just going to continue to get better and better. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus is alive. When he came out of that tomb 3 days after his death, was the guarantee that he keeps his promises. Because over and over and over again, he talked about the fact that he was going to have to die. Die for the sins of the whole world. But that he was going to rise again. And he was going to come out of that tomb 3 days later. And he's going to ascend back to you, and that's where he is today. He's in your presence. And Father, he's there interceding for us as his children. He's there preparing a place for every single one of us who believe in him as Savior. And one of these days, he's going to come and get us. It's either going to he's going to come and get us in the clouds, or he's going to come and get us through the avenue of death. But either way, he's coming to get us. Only a living Savior could do that. And so, Father, this morning, we're not here for ourselves. We're not here for any other reason than to be able to celebrate in our hearts and our minds as best as we can that Jesus is alive. Father, may this be the most amazing Easter we've ever celebrated. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, those of you that are biblically astute, you understand that most of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talk about Jesus' resurrection. So why in the world are we going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Because it's amazing. That's why. These are amazing verses. So when you hear the word amazing, what comes to mind? Well, the definition of amazing means this: causing great wonder or surprise, astonishing. And during my 69 years, yeah, I turned 69 about a week ago, I have seen some amazing things. I've seen sunsets in Hawaii, in Kenya, Ghana, and in the Caribbean. I've seen African wildlife in their native habitat in the game park in Kenya. And I've been from here to that post of a giraffe in its natural place where it lives. I was a visitor. It lived there. It was amazing. I've seen the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, and many other amazing things and places. And I know that many of you have as well. But one of the most amazing things I have seen happened here at church a few years ago. Now, many of you know that on Thursday night, I work with our teenagers. And a couple of years ago, two of the young men who were at that time teenagers from our church, they were doing the Rubik's Cube. You ever heard of that? And these guys did it faster than I have ever seen it done before in my whole life. It was, guess what? Amazing. So, you know what? I've asked these two young men to come up and to show you how amazing this is. So, Jesse and Gavin, come on up here. So, if you can't see them, you need to stand right here in the middle. Move up to the blue line. Okay? On my signal, I want you to go ahead and start. Now, it's not, they're all mixed up. So when they're all done, all four sides are going to be one solid color. Okay? All right? So if I was doing this, we'd be here till, well, I'd give up. By dinner time, I'd say, I've had enough. I'm done. Okay? These guys, watch. On my signal. One, two, go. Jesse, 35 seconds. What a coach. There we go. Gavin, 45 seconds. Was that amazing or what? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you could have done that? Exactly, right? None of us could have done it. Amazing. So, if you type the word amazing into Google, you will get almost 6 billion results. I didn't check every one of those out, by the way. I don't have time to do that. Okay? But I came to a thought as I was thinking about that. 6 billion results under the word amazing in Google. So if everything is amazing, then nothing is amazing. Think about that for a moment. If everything is amazing, then nothing is amazing. And a similar thing can happen with the narrative that we're going to celebrate this morning. We can hear it so many times that we lose our amazement at the amazing lengths that God went to pay the debt of sin for us. We might find ourselves this morning thinking, and maybe you've already thought about this, yeah, I know that. We sang these praise songs, yeah, I know that. You might even nod off to sleep during the sermon because you've lost your amazement. But this morning, my prayer is that we will experience an amazing Easter like it is the first time we've ever heard it. So let me give you just a little bit of background to be able to set the tone for what we're going to see that God's given us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that is so amazing. So the city of Corinth of Paul's day was the wealthiest city in Greece. It was a major multicultural urban center with more than 80,000 residents. There was an 18,000-seat amphitheater and a 3,000-seat concert hall. Merchants from all over would bring their wares to a large market in Corinth. The city was full of pagan shrines, and the people of Corinth had many different religious and philosophical perspectives. And Paul wrote a letter to this church in Corinth around 55 AD to address multiple problems within the congregation. Now, Paul ministered to this church, consisting mostly of Gentiles, during his second missionary journey. Now, in the church, there were divisions. There were people who were divided about different spiritual leaders. Some said they followed Paul. Some said they followed Peter. Some said they followed Apollos. And some said, hey, we follow Jesus. And so there was these divisions. Believers were suing other believers, and sexual immorality within the church was tolerated. So a lot of the people in this church were what we would consider to be spiritually immature. The church was a mess. And now Paul, here at the end of this letter called 1 Corinthians, is writing to this church to remind them of some amazing truths. You know, that there's a lesson there. That sometimes when we get so comfortable, when we get so lax, and we think we know it all, we think we've arrived in our knowledge. We come to church on Easter, we come to church on Christmas, we come to church in every Sunday in between, and we almost dare the preacher to be able to tell us something that we didn't already know. Well, I'm here to tell you that as a preacher, I only have one message. I just change the titles every Sunday. And I just pick different verses from God's word to be able to share that. But the danger is that we become so comfortable that we really lose the amazement of what God is trying to tell us in his word. What it is that God wants us to know. How it is that God wants us to be able to live our life. And Paul understood that that's where the church in Corinth was. And he's writing to them at the end of this first letter that he's writing to them. About that very same thing. He wants them to remember the message that he shared with them. He wants them to remember that at one time the Corinthians heard this message and they received it. They had believed in Jesus as Savior for eternal life. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Hopefully by now you've found 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in your Bibles. Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless, of course, you only believed in vain." So Paul reminds these believers of what is amazing, and he uses the celebration of Easter to be able to do that. And you know what? I want to do that very same thing this morning. So the first thing we're going to look at is an amazing thing. Look at verses 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins." There an amen there? "In accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day." Is there an amen there? "In accordance with the scriptures." That is an amazing thing. Jesus died for our sins. According to what? The scripture. Now, what is Paul writing about? So understand, today we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. Paul was in the process, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of writing the New Testament. So they didn't have the New Testament. So all they had was the Old Testament. So Paul is saying, listen, according to the Old Testament, this is what Jesus did. Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. He rose again the third day in accordance to the scripture. The Old Testament promised the death of Jesus, the Savior. In fact, in Psalm chapter 22, David writes as though he was there as Jesus went to the cross. Listen to what he says in verses 16 and 18 of Psalm 22. "For dogs encompass me, a soul, a company of evildoers encircle me. They've pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This was written thousands of years before Jesus ever what went to the cross, before the execution style of crucifixion was ever invented by the martyrs. 700 years before the cross, Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, and then verse 12. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That word iniquity, same word as sin. That word transgression, same word as sin. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death. Who's that talking about? Jesus. And was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many. Who did that? Jesus. And makes intercession for the transgressors. And then Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time. Whose time? Jesus' time? Nope. The religious leaders of Israel's time? Nope. Man's time? Nope. God's time. That's what makes Easter so amazing, is that it wasn't done in human time. It was done in God's time. At the time that God had determined. But God, look at verse 8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, who died for us? Christ. Jesus died for you in your place to pay the penalty for your sins and the sins of the entire world. This is amazing. In 2 Corinthians, another letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says this, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake, because we are sinners, God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. What an amazing thing! Why? Because you couldn't do that amazing thing. I couldn't do that amazing thing. No other spiritual leader could do that amazing thing. Only a Savior could do that thing. Only one who came from heaven, who was born in a little place called Bethlehem and grew to be a man, never sinned his entire life, went to a cross to be that debt payer of your sin and my sin, because you couldn't do it. That's an amazing thing. Here's another amazing thing. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. That he was buried. Now, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we read verses 3 and 4, we usually read that he was buried kind of as an afterthought. And when we do that, we run the risk of just forgetting the amazing power of these four words, and that he was buried. You see, Jesus was fully human and fully God. And because he was human, he could die. And he died on that cross. His dead body was taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. His body was washed and anointed with spices and then wrapped tightly with linen cloths according to Jewish custom and tradition. And then he was placed in a tomb, and a large stone rolled there to seal the entrance. Now, this is important because people started spreading a rumor that Jesus had not died, and he just merely swooned as he was on that cross, whatever that means, and that he passed out under the weight of the pain. And when he was placed in the chilly air of the tomb, he revived again. And then somehow he moved the stone and walked out. But the truth is, he was dead. He was dead. He was buried in a tomb. You don't bury living people in a tomb. Here's another amazing thing, again from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That is an amazing thing. This is the core of what we believe. This is the main thing of the main thing. All of the spiritual blessings, those amazing spiritual blessings that are ours as we believe in Jesus as Savior, stands on the amazing resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Jesus himself, because it was such an amazing thing, even predicted and promised his own resurrection. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes, the leaders of Israel, and be killed, get this, and on the third day be raised. Amazing. Jesus was resurrected according to the scriptures. Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's been what? Raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Why are we made alive? Because he's alive. That's an amazing thing. Here's the second thing that's amazing, to be able to help make this an amazing Easter. There were those who were witnesses of an amazing thing. Listen to verses 6 through 8. Then Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as the one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Now, why did Jesus appear to these people? Well, I think one of the reasons is that there was a rumor that it was floating around saying that someone, maybe even the disciples themselves, came and stole the body of Jesus. So he was appearing to these people to be able to show them that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. He was showing them this amazing thing that had taken place. And Jesus appeared to many. He appeared to Peter. We sang about Peter going to the tomb. You know, that's Peter's song. He's alive. That's Peter's song. And Peter went to the tomb. And it says, and John believed in a miracle, but Peter doesn't say he did. And so it tells us in the Bible that after they looked inside the tomb, they just went back to their houses. They didn't think it was that amazing. Eh? And so Jesus appears to Peter. Why? Because Peter had denied Jesus three times. And he was sad and fearful after Jesus had died. Peter lost hope and he went back to fishing. But Jesus restored Peter and gave him the mission to be a leader in the early church. And maybe you're here today and you've lost hope. Or maybe you think that what you've done in your life or with your life is too bad. That's not true. Peter was restored. And guess what? You can be too. That's the amazing thing about believing in a living Savior. It tells us that Jesus appeared to the disciples. It was Peter's song. Peter says, we were gathered in this room, and all of a sudden the darkness from the windows was what? Light. And the next thing they knew, what? Jesus was in their midst. Jesus came to them. Why? Because in his resurrected body, he's not bound by time or space. So he just showed up. Don't you love it when Jesus just shows up? Isn't it an amazing thing when Jesus shows up? Isn't it an amazing thing when you come to church and Jesus shows up? Yeah, it is. And guess what? He shows up here every Sunday. Shows up here every Sunday. But they were filled with shame, guilt, and fear. They were fearing that the Jewish religious leaders and the Roman soldiers and authorities were going to come and they were going to take them out of this upper room where they had gathered, and they were going to do to them exactly what they had done to Jesus. But Jesus, what? Appeared to them. Because he knew that they needed to see and hear from him. And when Jesus came to them, he did knock on the door and say, fellas, open the door, I'm here. And remember in the Gospels, it says that Jesus told Mary Magdalene, go to my brothers, tell them that you've seen me, and tell them that I'm going to meet with them later on today. And so they were up there, and they should have been expecting Jesus. They should have been all excited. They should have said, what an amazing thing this is that Jesus actually rose from the dead, just like he said. We can't wait for him to get here. All right, you stand by the door, and when he knocks, you be ready to open the door. Or when he knocks on the window, you be ready to open the window. When he rings the doorbell, oh, they didn't have doorbells back then. When he sends the text message, you get ready. Oh, they didn't have text message back then. They should have been going, when's he going to show up? When's he going to? Because we know he's alive. No, they were what? Cowering in fear. And Jesus just shows up in their midst. And he turns the light of his love on for all of them to be able to be enveloped in. Whoa. That's an amazing thing. And then he gave them the message and the mission to take the message of him being the Savior to the entire world. And then it goes on to tell us that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. Now these 500 people were just ordinary people living in Israel. And many of them were alive to be able to actually see the risen Jesus. And people could go and talk to them about what it must have been like to be able to see Jesus. And to be able to hear how these people were responded, how they felt when they saw who? The resurrected Jesus. What an amazing thing. And guess what? Because we believe in Jesus as Savior someday, we're going to be in the presence, the very presence of the resurrected Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's what eternal life is all about. And then Jesus appeared to James. Now, this James was the half-brother of Jesus, and at one time, James did not believe that his older brother was the Savior. But then Jesus appeared to him, and James was given the mission to be a leader in the Jerusalem church. And then Paul says this, and he, last of all, appeared to me. Paul, remember Paul? His name was Saul. And he was antagonistic to the message of Jesus as Savior. He arrested believers and had put them to death. And then one day, on the way to Damascus to round up more believers to put them to death, Jesus appeared to Paul. And the persecutor became the preacher. What an amazing thing. You see, what God did for Jesus that first Easter is amazing. What God has done for us through Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection is amazing. Amazing love. How can it be? Amazing grace. How sweet it is. So, could this be the most amazing Easter for you? Maybe you've come here this morning and you've heard about believing in Jesus as Savior, believing in him and receiving from him that gift of eternal life, and you said, yeah, it's not that great. Let me tell you something. It's great. The disciples found out how great it was. Mary Magdalene found out how great it was. The disciples found out how great it is. His brother found out how great it is. Paul himself found out how great it is. There are many sitting around you in the sanctuary this morning that have already found out how great it is. And how great it would be if this is the Easter that becomes the most amazing Easter for you. Because even though you may have come here not believing in Jesus as Savior, you don't have to leave here that way. In the quietness of your heart, in the quietness of your mind, you can say, I believe. I believe what Jesus did for me on the cross. I believe he died on that cross to pay the penalty of my sin. I believe that as he died on that cross, he's given me the gift of eternal life. And someday I'm going to be with him. And I believe that on the third day he rose again has the guarantee of that promise. I believe that he is my Savior. Maybe this can be the most amazing Easter for you. Have you experienced God's amazing grace? And if the answer to that question is yes, then I want you to go and enjoy a very amazing Easter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be reminded of how amazing Easter is. Father, it's not about all of the things that the world makes it. All of those things are nice, but they're not amazing. What's amazing is the fact that you loved us so much that you didn't want us to stay in our sin. You sent for us someone who would die on that cross, the only one who could, to pay the debt of our sin, so that we could enjoy all of the amazing spiritual blessings that are brought to us as we believe in what he did for us. Father, I pray that if there are any here this morning that have come here without believing in you as Savior, they won't leave here without saying to you, I believe. And this will be the most amazing Easter for them. Father, as we've heard again the narrative of that first Easter, Father, may we be amazed by what it is you, through Jesus, has done for us. May this for us be an amazing Easter. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for our final song?
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed, living he loved me, dying he saved. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hand that healed nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day, a glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified me.